This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mawbuthi rahmatin lil alameen. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. Al-yawm. الخامس عشر من شهر جماد الآخرة 1446 الموافق ل 17 من شهر ديسمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah today bi'idhin Allah ta'ala we continue from the hadith of Abi Abdullah Salman al-Farisi where he says qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as brothers assalamu alaykum, please if you can move to somewhere else it would be better. قال لا يغسل أو لا يغتسل رجل يوم الجمعة ويتطهر ما استطاع من طهر ويدهن من دهنه ويمس من طيب بيته ثم يخرج فلا يفرق بين اثنين ثم يصلي ما كتب له ثم ينصت إذا تكلم الإمام إلا غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة الأخرى. Last week, I believe we talked a little bit about this narration of Salman al-Farisi. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a person takes ghusl on Friday, ghusl yawm al-jum'ah, according to the vast majority of the scholars, is sunnah mu'akkada. Most of the scholars believe that ghusl yawm al-jum'ah is sunnah mu'akkada. And they are doing this based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that says, "Man tawadda'a yawm al-jum'ati fabiha wa ni'mat. Wa man ightasala falghusl afdal." He said, "Man tawadda'a yawm al-jum'ah, whoever performs wudu on Friday, fabiha wa ni'mat. Wa man ightasal falghusl afdal." And if a person takes shower, taking shower, taking ghusl is better. So he says, فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةٌ. And Al-Hariri in his book, Mulha, he says, وَنِعْمَةُ السُنَّةُ هَذِهِ. That's the interpretation he gave to avoid any criticism against the statement itself. Because some of the scholars said it doesn't even make sense. فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةٌ. But as long as that hadith is authentic, then the case closed. You can have a support for the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. مَنْ تَوَضَّعَ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةِ أي وَنِعْمَةُ السُنَّةُ هَذِهِ وَمَنْ اغْتَسَلْ فَالْغُسُلْ أَفْضَلْ. And whoever takes shower, taking shower is better. But since there are some scholars who sees it as a wajib, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, غسل يوم الجمعة واجب على كل محتلم. Taking shower on Friday is obligatory upon everyone who reaches the age of maturity. A Muslim in these type of circumstances is supposed to be on the safe side. Yeah? Not to come to the masjid on Friday without making ghusl. Doing that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Even if you believe it's mustahab, it's not good for you to approach the masjid without doing that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised you to do. And on top of all, also it's a rewardable act. It's a rewardable act, meaning if you do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you reward, reward for it. So the Prophet said, لَا يَغْتَسِلُ رَجُلٌ يَوْمَ الْجُمَعَةِ. A man will never take shower on Friday. وَيَتَطَحَّرُ مَا اسْتَطَعَ مِنْ طُهُرٍ. And make tahara. And this is مُبَالَغَ فِي التَّطَهُرِ. The scholar said he is referring to other things which are supposed to be done on Friday. Cutting your nails, you know, removing those hair that are not supposed to be with you, the Prophet ﷺ advised us to do. Putting the tib, which he talks about that also. So making ghusl and also removing those other things which are supposed to be removed from you. The one that the Prophet ﷺ called them, the sunan of the fitrah. The sunan of the fitrah. قال ويتطهر ما استطاع من طهر قال ويدهن من دهنه او يمس من طيب نفسه. He used oil and cleaned himself properly and also put the perfume from his house, from himself or from his family. It doesn't matter what is the source of the perfume. The point is to have perfume being put when he is approaching the masjid. Meaning a person to come to the masjid ala wajhil kamal. Yeah, the most complete, you know, form and zina. A person is supposed to be in the masjid like that. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. And the scholar said, this is not only satr al-awrah, it's also a recommendation by the sharia that a person should be at the best according to the custom in his place. Be at the best according to the custom when you come to the masjid. The most complete surah and sifah of a believer when you come to pray. Because don't forget, you are going to be standing before Rabbul Alameen. You're going to be standing before Rabbul Alameen. And therefore you should be at the best you can. Abdullah ibn Umar, he gave one of his slaves nice and beautiful clothes to wear. And then he saw him praying with a very ugly one. So he told him, didn't I give you the good one? He said, no, I'm keeping that one for my event. I'm keeping it for the event. Abdullah ibn Umar told him, actually, I gave you this so that you can use it to stand before Rabbul Alameen. So that's the meaning of خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ. The person to be the best, because don't forget, you're going to be presenting yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it doesn't make sense when you approach human beings, you are the best. When you are invited to an event that you are interested in coming, you try to prepare yourself, look at the mirror, pick yourself. But when it comes to the prayer, we pray anyhow. Yes, wallahu ghafur rahim. Allah will accept your prayer, inshallah, as long as you pray it correctly and you cover your awrah. But at the same time, why can't you present yourself in the best way in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why can't you do that in the presence of Rabbul Alameen? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants you, at least on Friday, to wear the best of your clothes and to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Friday. قال ثم يخرج فلا يفرق بين اثنين. And then he goes out of his house to the masjid, get inside the masjid without separating between two people. Some scholars said this is general to include تخطي الرقاب. You know, when you come late, you cross people, walk on people like that. That one is wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told somebody, اجلس. فَقَدْ آنَيْتَ وَآذَيْتَ. You came late and you are harming people. You came late and you are harming people. That's why on Friday, if there is a space in front there, and there is no way for you to reach it unless if you jump on top of people, then it's haram for you to do that. You have to wait first behind. Yeah? Wait first when the prayer, the khutbah has been finished. Then you can look for any space and rush to the first tank or wherever you want to stay. Yeah, these are serious matters, because the Imam, when he is speaking, we are supposed to listen. And whatever destruction that is caused, you know, for the Muslim is wrong Islamically. And it doesn't matter, as we said last week, whether you understand the language or you don't. When you are in the masjid, your wajib, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wadana wa ansat, come closer and kept quiet. So, lam yufarriq bayna ithnayn doesn't separate between two people. Some said it is general. Some of them said no. He found two people sitting together and he sit between them. And this is also referring to situations whereby these people, they are together. Friends, they come to the masjid, and then now you make a barrier between them. So if you can push them and that, don't separate between them, and sit in the next, you know, space after that. The reason why we go for this, because if this is the case, then you will never fill a gap and a space in the masjid. If we're going to take it general, that don't sit between two people, then where do you sit? You get it? But the scholar said it means don't do the takhatti al-riqab, and also then separate between two people who are sitting together in one place. قَالَ ثُمَّ يصلي مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And then he prays whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him, because the sunnah on Friday when you come to the masjid, you keep praying. It's okay to sit down and do dhikr, sit down and read Quran, it's fine. But the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they come to the masjid, they usually pray, and they keep praying until the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out. When they see him and they stop, then they stop the prayer. Get it? They pray a lot until the time they see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they will stop praying. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ ثُمَّ يُنْسِتُ إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ الْإِمَامُ. He said, and then he listens, he keeps quiet when the Imam speaks. You know, he did not say he keeps quiet when he understands the khutbah. He said he keeps quiet when the Imam speaks. And don't tell me because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking to Arab and the khutbah is all in Arabic. No, this is general, he's given as hukum. Otherwise, every time somebody wants to change something, he will say, no, that was just given to the Arabs in his time, but we are not included. Even the prayer, somebody might come and pray in another way, thinking that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving it to others. So he is given as Sharia of Rabbul Alameen, which is applicable until the Day of Judgment. You are in the masjid, don't sit. That's good. But istama ila al-imam, listen to what the imam is saying, whether you understand or you don't understand. If the khutbah is in another language, inshallah, he's going to read, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Yeah, that one also you should understand. You get it? In some places, the khutbah is always in Arabic. In the Arab countries, it's always in Arabic. In some countries also, it's always in Arabic. There are some who don't even agree with the khutbah to be done in any other language. Although the other opinion is the one that is correct, to combine both. Because ما أرسلنا من رسول إلا بلسان قومه. What is the point of giving khutbah if nobody knows what the imam is speaking about? You get it? Khutbah is prescribed so that the imam can have opportunity to address the members of the community. Because most of them, this is the time they're coming to the masjid. This is the time they are coming to the durus. This is the only moment they can have time to listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what Allah is commanding them. So the imam should speak in the way they will understand. Because the purpose of the khutbah is to see the change taking place in our community. That's why khatib should make sure that he speaks in the way the musalloon, the attendees, those people who come, they understand. Even if he mixes it with some other language, Arabic or any other language, you know, he must make sure that there is some part of the khutbah which is done in that language which the vast majority of the people know. So that they will change when they go back to the community after the prayer. Or else he will be speaking to people who don't even know what he is talking about. But as I said, the person who comes to the masjid, whether the imam is speaking in the way he understands, or the imam is not speaking in the way he understands, his job is to listen to the imam. Because if I claim that I don't understand the language, and then I start talking to my friend who also doesn't understand the language, what happened? I will be distracting those people who understand the language. And trust me, the fact that I'm talking, even if I'm whispering to him, I will be catching the attention of others who are nearby. Then they will not be able to pay attention that much to the khutbah. Who is harming them? I'm harming them. So you shouldn't bring books to the masjid to read them when the imam is making khutbah. You shouldn't talk to your Facebook or WhatsApp. You shouldn't play with the phone. We see a lot of people playing with the phone. The value of the prayer is gone. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man massa al-hasa faqad lagha." If you touch a pebble, you do a lagu. The closest meaning for this is, "Ay dhahabat fadilatu jum'atihi." The virtue of your Jum'ah is gone. It's like you're praying Jum'ah with no reward, no value at all. Now it's not about if you touch just a pebble, just a stone. You know. Sometimes we like to play with things next to us. You touch that one, then you lost. But this guy came with the phone and played with the phone games or whatever he is doing, for whatever reason. For sure, if that person is lose his khutbah or Jum'ah, this person should be the first to lose his khutbah, because he's not just touching that hasa, he's touching actually something which is more destructive than the hasa itself. So we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that this is, how long is the khutbah? 20, 30 minutes, 50, 40, even if it is 1 hour, 2 hours. 2 hours in a week, how many hours you have? A lot of hours you have. Allah took from you only 2 hours. I'm just exaggerating. If that is the imam who is making khutbah for 2 hours, this is wrong, by the way. But I'm just saying, even if there is imam who is making khutbah for 2 hours, what's wrong with you being patient? I thought this is a privilege, an opportunity given to you by Rabbul Alameen. Sabr. And in this media that you are busy with, at any time you can come back to it. You will miss nothing actually. But this one you will miss it. You will miss it. So I guess as a smart Muslim, when you come to the masjid, keep your phone off. That's the best. Or at least put it on the silent mode if you want your brain to be distracted. The best is just switch it off. And some people might say, well, I will forget, to switch it on. So what if you forget to switch it on? When you remember, just do it. What's wrong with that? Yeah, we have to understand the value of our akhirah. Wallahi, this is what remains for us. So both the imam in the masjid should understand this opportunity and address the people in the way they should be addressed. Send message that will improve their iman. Make them a better Muslim. You Allah, this is the best khutbah. If you look at the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were like that. Usually he recites Surah Qaf in the khutbah. You know Qaf, right? What does it talk about? The origin of human beings, history of the previous nations, destruction of those people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how much closer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to his slave. And everything's been documented by the angels, whatever you do. And then death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about your last moment on earth. What exactly happens? And the communication and the debates that will take place between shaitan and the person who obeyed shaitan on the day of judgment. Between two friends who agree to come together in the commission of the sins. They're going to have a very great debate when they meet Rabbul Alam. This is Surah Qaf, and Allah talks about hell. You can see from the beginning, and Allah is going with us through the process of what exactly happened to make you a better Muslim, a Muslim who is very conscious in whatever he does. Allah talks about the hell and the fact that he promised the hell to make it full. That surah also discussed that matter. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. Iwallah, very scary moment that will take place on the day of judgment. That hell, which is so big, so vast, so wide, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard that bang, you know, and he told the companions, do you know what is this? They said, no, ya Rasulullah. He said, this is a hajar, a rock that was cast into hell. You know, it takes this hajar 70 years to reach the qa'r, 70 years to reach the bottom of the hell. 70 years to reach the bottom. One of the Salaf al-Saleh said, and we are told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this place is going to be full. Allah promised hell to make it full. So Allah talk about that moment, because he will be telling hell, is it fine? He will tell him, no, need more, I need more, I need more. And Allah talk about Jannah also. وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And what to do for you to come closer to Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer us back to the history, to read about the previous nation, what exactly happens to them and what they do. This is the main theme of Surah Qaf. Almost every Jum'ah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read this surah to the companions, to the believers. What does that mean? Khutbah should be based on imaniyat, things that can refresh the iman of a Muslim, so that inshallah he will become a better Muslim who is very productive in the community. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and somebody who is bringing manfa'ah to the community. Every day, every Friday is supposed to be like this. Taken from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our job is to cooperate and to listen to the imam. قَالَ ثُمَّ يُنْسِتُ إِذَا تكلم الإمام إلا غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة الأخرى. If he keeps quiet when the Imam is speaking, Allah will forgive his sins that he commits now until the next Jumu. You will learn this is very great. All the sins that you commit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them from this Jumu until the next Jumu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال وعن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحل لرجل أن يفرق بين اثنين إلا بإذنهما. وفي رواية لأبي داود لا يجلس بين رجلين إلا بإذنهما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it is not permissible for a person to separate between two people on Friday except with their permission. So you come to the masjid when the imam is not giving the khutbah, then you take their permission. When you have some space between two people, meaning when the gap is very small, but then there is also small gap here, small gap there, you can ask them to move a bit so that you can sit. So you take their permission and then you sit between them. So this is almost similar to the previous narration. قال وعن حذيفة ابن اليمان أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن من جلس وسط الحلقة. حذيفة ابن اليمان said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed the person who sit in the middle of the حلقة. Of the حلقة, people are sitting, learning about their deen, and then somebody comes and sit in the middle. You get it? This hadith is weak. Yeah, this first narration is weak. And the second one also that says, وَرَوَى التِّرْمِذِيُّ عَنْ أَبِي مِجْلَزٍ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَعَدَ وَسَطَ الْحَلْقَةِ فَقَالَ حُذَيْفَةَ مَلْعُونٌ عَلَى لِسَانِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْ لَعَنَ اللَّهُ على لسان محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من جلس وسط الحلق. In another narration, somebody came and practically sat in that place, and then Hudhayfa said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed, or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed the person who does that. But as I said, both of these narrations are weak, because curse is too much. It's to be taken away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is not appropriate, right? Because how do you reach that wasat halaqah? You have to cross on top of people. And usually people don't like this. Even if it is not in the Jum'ah on Friday, people don't like this. So the best is not to do it. Just look for a space and sit, as the Prophet ﷺ advised us to do in the hadith of last week. قال وعن أبي سعيد الخدري قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول خير المجالس أوسعها. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, the best of majalis. Majalis, these are the place where people gather and sit. The best of the majalis, awsa'uha, are the most wide majalis, big majalis. The majalis that can accommodate everyone. In the way you don't need to push somebody, you don't need to make any adjustment. Everyone can have enough space to accommodate it. So because of the khair is going to be armed for jamia, the Prophet ﷺ said these are the best of the majalis. But if you have the majalis which is already small and that's the extent of your ability, then the Prophet ﷺ said tafassahu wa tawassah. Try to make some modification to make sure that it accommodates every single person who is supposed to be there. قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من جلس في مجلس فكثر فيه لغطه فقال قبل أن يقوم من مجلسه ذلك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك إلا غفر له ما كان في مجلسه ذلك. Abu Huraira said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever sit in a place فَكَثُرَ فِيهِ لَغَطُهُ, and you talk to friends, you know, you are sitting in a place, so you talk to your friends, whatever talk you are doing, the possibility of you being wrong in whatever you are saying is also always there. Committing sin also in that majlis is always there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقَالَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُومَ مِنْ مَجْلِسِهِ ذَلِكِ, and then you manage to say before you stand up and move from that majlis, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If you mention this dua, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, glory be to you, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhan means Allah is free from any deficiency whatsoever. Allah is the most complete. That's the meaning of Subhan. You say Subhanallah, you are saying that Allah is free from any deficiency. That's the meaning of Subuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati Urruh. It's a sifat of Rabbul Alameen, the one who is free from any deficiency. Allah says Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun wa Salamun Ala Al-Mursaleen. The scholars said, Allah said Salamun Ala Al-Mursaleen because they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those sifatul kamal allati taliqu bi jalalillah azza wa jalla. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'tahum as-salam li salamati ma wasafuhu bihi. They got the salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because what they used to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any deficiency. Allah gave them aman for this. So that's what you should be reflecting upon when he says subhanallah. It's like you're saying, Allah, there is no deficiency whatsoever to be attributed to you. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. And you're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's the only one who deserves to be praised. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. And I bear witness that there is none to be worshipped except you, Ya Allah. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for maghfirah, to cover your sins. To cover your sins and to take them away from you. And you are repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're saying, Ya Allah, I'm seeking your forgiveness and I'm repenting to you, Ya Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you say this, Allah will forgive whatever you committed of sins in that majlis. All the sins you have committed in that majlis, they will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a great loss for a person to be in a majlis and to end that majlis without tasbih kifara. I believe, alhamdulillah, nowadays most of the places you hear this tasbih kifara. So you should also apply it, even at the individual level when you sit in a place. you and your friend, or you sit alone, you're moving from that place, conclude your sitting with this dua. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq. We stop here, inshallah. Next week, bi idhn al wahid al ahad, we continue from the next hadith, which is the hadith of Abu Barzah al Aslami. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mabuth rahmatil lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Okay, the first question is about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they pray on Friday. Do they pray more than four rakat? Yes, the hadith says they pray until they see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They pray until they see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think this one answers your question also, right?
They pray before, right
after the other. Yeah, it answers your question also, because when is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming out?
After the second. Yeah.
So they pray until they see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? Next. The next question is about the ghusl on Friday. Is it applicable upon the sisters only? The Fuqaha mentioned that this is applicable upon الَّذِي تَلْزَمُهُ الْجُمْعَةِ, the one that Jum'ah is obligated upon him. And that's the closest opinion, inshallah. But this controversy among them is based on the ghusl itself. Is it for the day or for the prayer? If it is for the prayer, then it is for the brothers only, because they are the ones who are obliged to come to the masjid. Sisters, they can come if they wish, but it's not wajib upon them. If you say it is for the day, then every Muslim, including the sisters also. But since Yom al-Jum'ah is our Eid, it's also appropriate for every sister also to take ghusl, clean themselves on Friday. Because Jum'ah is the best day, and it's our Eid also. Al-Eid al-Usbu'i, you know. Allah grant is good. Okay, there is a question also to give an interpretation of the ayah. وَلَا تَأْتُرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَلَا شَيْءٍ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. It's a very beautiful ayah, but it might take a bit longer, so we keep it to our next class, inshallah. Somebody says, if he doesn't know the Arabic language, can he just recite the meaning of the Tasbih al-Kifara? Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should read this one. Why can't we learn the Arabic language and the meaning? Even if you don't learn the Arabic language, but the meaning of this, why can't a person go and learn the meaning? How long does it take you to understand the meaning? 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes? Yeah, ask somebody. Don't accept deficiency in your life and to continue like this. The more you start going with the concession, trust me, you will never have the courage to go and improve yourself. So I will advise the one who is asking this question, if the question belongs to him, don't go for this. Memorize the dua in Arabic and ask friends who know and understand the meaning of the thing to tell you what is the meaning. So that the next time when you say it, you know what it means. Somebody says, in case they forgot to mention that dua and they left maybe 1 hour later, then they remember, can they just say it? No. They should just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their sins, and that's it, inshallah.
Two more questions. Tasbih al-Kifara, what kind of gathering can this be recited?
Any gathering that, he says, if you sit in a majlis, any majlis, after the majlis, ask Allah to forgive your sins through this dua. Okay, then we keep it for the next class, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.